Derek Lamshar from River Valley Health joining us. We're going to talk all about clavicle slash collarbone. Why do people call it the collarbone? Is that just like the length? Because that's where it's above our collar?
Yeah, you know, I have no idea why people call it the collarbone. I think it's just a lay term. And collarbone sounds cooler than clavicle, probably. I hurt my collarbone. Oh, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? You know, clavicle sounds too like medical. You know what I mean?
I did find out, though, that it's the most commonly broken bone
true. In
the human body.
Yeah. So I learned that in school.
Yeah. There you did. Okay. Well, that's why we got you on today about this. So first of all, there's two, like, people are like, well, I broke my clavicle and this was my rehab, so McDavid's will do this. I'm like, well, that all depends, right? Because if you break it in the middle of the bone compared to if you break it closer to the shoulder, correct?
Yeah. And also too closer to the sternum. So kind of at the joint line. So I've had a couple of young hockey guys, also the age, if you're still developing, growth plates can play a factor closer to that. I've seen a few. I haven't seen too many, like you said, further out of the shoulder. I've seen mostly right at that sternum, so right in the middle.
Okay.
And then like in the middle, and then in the middle of the collarbone, clavicle. We're going to call it clavicle for today. So really joint line, age dependent.
So what would be the difference then? Let's say it's the middle of the clavicle compared to if it was close to the sternum. How, like, the sternum one's obviously a longer recovery usually?
No, a broken bone is a broken bone. So it really doesn't matter. Like really, and to be honest, I would probably say closer to the sternum doesn't matter unless you're younger. You know what I mean? So if you and I being not 18 or 16 and not developing, not as big an issue because of the growth plate, and that's what other factor. So really, there's not much of an issue. A bone, I think he's out. I think have they given a time frame?
Well, they've been kind of hush on it, but everybody said, 10 to 12 weeks.
Yeah. Usually, the biggest probably, a bone heals in 6 weeks generally. Like if bone development, if everything's healthy, the bone's, growing properly. The problem with the clavicle, because it is the most commonly broken, is the point of stress that gets put on it. And obviously him playing a contact sport. So if you usually break the clavicle in that side impact, that crushing impact. So it becomes a tense spot. So it's like snapping a tree twig. You know what I mean? So you have to even build a better foundation because the stress point on that bone is going to be higher. So they usually give you an extra 6 weeks or so with that. So
now you've done a lot of the rehab on guys for broken clavicles. Yep. And today, McDavid had mentioned, I was doing upper body today. And everyone's like, oh my God, the guy's an Adonis.
Heavy bench press.
But for him, he's probably doing like the most boring stuff.
Yeah.
Like what would you do the initial stages of rehab for a clavicle?
Well, what's it been now? Three, four weeks?
Two weeks.
Oh, so he's really initial. He's probably doing passive range of motion, maybe some, they're called like alphabets. We've all done some kind of alphabet where you swing your shoulder, just trying to keep that shoulder girdle. No, Jay just moved his arm in an external rotation way. No, you're probably not there yet.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit of a lot of what I'd call neural activation. But to be honest, probably just trying to, so you have the shoulder, girdle, which the clavicle plays, and you have the shoulder joint. So that's where we can kind of swing it all over the place. He's probably doing something called an alphabet. So you can keep that shoulder girdle, because the more you keep it immobilized, the more scar tissue builds and the longer it takes to come back. And so
that's what, because people were wondering, well, why would you have him working on it today? It's because to try to limit the amount of scar tissue, right?
Yeah. And he might be, he's got guys on him, I'm assuming 24/7. So he's probably got some, the quicker you can get the activation, we start a lot. I've talked about previous shows. We'll do a lot of core bracing and breathing exercise, because if you find, in my experience, if you can get that working better and keep that breathing pattern and get that, then the shoulder can, it just kind of keeps that whole connection. So the shoulder can heal properly, but he's probably not doing, like that rehab, which is also a little bit less boring, but still boring. People have seen people in the gym with the tubing and stuff like that. He's definitely not there yet. Or I'd be shocked if he was there yet. So.
Now, why is that? Just because
he probably can't move it very much. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it probably still really hurts. Like if it's been 2 weeks, he's probably able to do some movement, but he's definitely not able to take it very high. And so, like I say, keeping that shoulder down low, doing some pendular circles, really trying to keep that joint motion, some activation. But he wouldn't be able to fully move that shoulder properly. So.
Derek Lamshar from River Valley Health joined us. Now, he's there, and he said it, and everybody else has said it. He goes, the silver lining is it's a broken bone rather than a torn labrum or any sort of ligament damage, yeah, because that's way more long-term. You know, there's a potential that sometimes if you tear your ligament like that, it's never going to come back. Right now, what's the bone? How do you get a bone to heal properly?
Well, first of all, it has to be lined up. Okay. So he did have surgery. Yes. I've been out of town for a bit. Okay, so he had surgery. So a lot of times if you break a bone, there's two pieces. If it's still lined up, meets its comminuted, so it's still kind of in place, then they don't do surgery, just let it heal properly. It's when it's separated, they have to pin it, do whatever they need to do to get so the bone actually heals as one. So the fact that he didn't do any labral damage, I know when everyone was freaking out, the best thing he could have done truly was probably break a clavicle or a rib or something like that in that situation, because he should heal back. He is young. He's gifted. He's an athlete. So on and so forth. Going back to your rehab question, I can guarantee if he's saying he's doing upper body stuff, when the door closes, it is not interesting stuff. It is going to be very, very boring. He's doing very minimal stuff, just trying to keep that shoulder moving. So,
but for athletes to do anything is kind of the mental thing, just to see some progress.
Yeah, 100%.
Right?
You got to start in our training center. It's called the base. You got to start from the base. So you got to get, you want to get movement. The kind of the old school process. Obviously, a bone, you gotta immobilize it to let it heal. Like first things first. But once that couple weeks in, now the bone started to heal. But now it needs. You're not going to punch him in the shoulder because it's not healed. It's kind of like if you think of a pillar. It's kind of a hollow pillar right now. So you need to get stronger. So what he needs to do is he needs to get just some range of motion, because the longer, if he kept it immobilized for 6 weeks, that rehab is going to build some deep scar tissue, and then you could have some long-term problems. The medicine and the rehab and the training has evolved so much since we were younger playing. We did that at 18, so.
It is amazing how, like, just the changes in rehab, because usually when you had surgery, man, there was like, do nothing for
nothing,
like the first month.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you know, certain knee surgeries, you know, today wasn't the first day he's worked with the doctor. He's been working with the doctor for already over a week. It's literally sometimes within 48 to 72 hours after surgeries, in a lot of cases, that they have you doing, albeit minimal, doing any sort of movement to get blood flow and everything.
Yeah. They probably did some, there's so many different modalities too. Like you can do some laser treatments. There's so many different things out there. Acupuncture works really well. Like a lot of times he probably gave it a good week of just put your arm in a sling and just let the bone heal up, and they probably x-rayed it continuously. Once they saw that bone develop, everything's fine. But you do want to get on it. He's a big ticket. You need to get him back on the ice, and you need him to be as strong as possible. So the earlier you can do that, research shows the more you can do. We always call our recovery, we're all about getting back quicker and active recovery. And you got to start addressing that. The days of sitting there with your arm in a sling for 6 weeks and being like, whoa, bro, you can't move your arm now. That's not what they do anymore. So the evolution of it's unbelievable.
What's the concern when he comes back to play? Is it just the strength of the bone, or where the clavicle is? Yeah. Can you strengthen the joints around it? Anything to help it? Or is it just a test of the bone? Like, how do you ensure? Because I know my nephew broke his last year, came back, played a game, and it was injured again.
Yeah, he came back maybe too soon, or maybe came back. If you come back too soon, so everyone's like, oh, McDavid, yep. You know, he's right. He's the first day he's going to be at practice. And I was like, he's almost back. He might not almost be back. And the organization would not be very smart to rush him back, because there's not going to be really any long term. But if you do it again, you're out for I don't know how long your nephew was out, but it's another big chunk of time, right? It was another 6 weeks. Pretty much lost most of last year.
It was
kind of a write off.
Weeks after that,
exactly. Yeah. So you know, you need to do the math, right? So they're going to take their time, and like I say, it's that tensile. It's the twig analogy. Once that bone's healed, he's fine. Like that bone is good.
Are you more susceptible if you have a break to break it again in the same spot, or does the bone actually, like nowadays, find ways to make the bone stronger?
Yeah, no, the bone would probably be stronger. Yeah, for sure. As long as you let, because you get more callus formation. It's basically putting more bone there to make sure it doesn't break again. Think of an analogy. If a building fell down and you got the right people working on it, that's probably the next building you want to go into, because they're not going to allow the building to fall down again. You know what I mean? Because they're going to build it really solid. You know, that kind of
analogy.
Would it
make another area on the clavicle more susceptable? Because
you probably need to. You know, I don't know. There might be an ortho out there that's like, oh, no, he's wrong. But I would say no. No, I've never seen it. I've never heard of that.
Okay.
Going back to the problem, if he's going to have to do a diligent, the good thing is he's 18 years old. He's young, bounce back, he'll come back. He's got some of that natural, you know, he's still developing. He's not got a cumulative effect where things have got hurt on hurt. And he didn't have a bum shoulder to start out with, right? Yeah. He needs everyone's heard of rotator cuff.
Yes.
So the rotator cuff, those little muscles in the back to stabilize the shoulder. So if you don't actually get that, you can develop some long-term, don't panic out there, but you can develop some long-term shoulder issues if you don't do the proper rehab strategy and make those little muscles, those little activators. Because the problem with the shoulder is because we can move it all over the place, it's not a very stable joint. So I'm now talking about like that dislocating part of it, and that's going to play a part of that clavicle. Everything works together. So if you can really be strong in that shoulder complex, and it's not, oh, it needs to do more bench press. No, it actually needs to do more back and traps and or low traps and lats and that kind of stuff to really get that stability in that shoulder.
Because a shoulder separation, a lot of people have buddies out there who, you know what, it pops out
kind of
once.
A passage with hockey.
Yeah, and then it pops out again, right? It becomes
that's a
more
dislocation.
Dislocation.
Yeah, separation.
Right?
Separation's that bump on your shoulder. You know what I mean? Like the separation. A separation is sort of where you're going, I think, a little bit when you talk about the clavicle more towards that joint. That's taking it out towards the shoulder where the clavicle and the AC joints, so it's called the acromion and the clavicle. You get some separation there. And a lot of hockey guys would be like, dude, what's wrong with your shoulder? It's called a step deformity where their clavicle sticks out of their shirt.
Yeah.
I have one because I was pretty tough in my day and threw a lot of
kind fell off your bike.
I fell off my bike. Anyways, a dislocation is where. So once you, the problem with the separated shoulder, they used to do surgery on that probably when we were kids. They don't anymore because they found that unless it's like a grade 4, 5, 6, you know, like that extreme one where you're going into ER, you know what I mean? But the ones you generally see, 90% of them, they don't. It's just an aesthetic thing. And you really have to do a lot of rehab because you can be very weak in that shoulder because it really challenges that strength there. A dislocation is when that shoulder pops out. A lot of guys, hey man, when I go out partying and I roll over from my hockey and it popped out at night. Sometimes people can pop it back in. That is something. That is probably the worst thing because that starts to deal with some of that labrum and that joint capsule.
And then it becomes more weak over time, right?
Well,
or looser, I should say.
I've seen a lot of hockey guys, older guys, where their shoulder pops out once, and then kind of it pops out a second time. Now we got something to talk about. And I've worked on some guys, NHL guys, where maybe I'll be treating their hip and. Oh yeah, and just so you know, like don't look at my shoulder. Don't grab my shoulder because they're afraid if you grab it the wrong way, it might pop out again. Like they're sort of so they're obviously working in a limited. These are usually guys in their last 1 or 2 years, and they're sort of like they tape it up and do whatever, and they know how to play with that shoulder.
Yeah.
But it's a very a lot of guys will get sometimes you have to get if it keeps popping out like spontaneously dislocating, you get surgery, tighten up that capsule, and then that's a bigger game because you lose some range of motion. That's I always say if you're going to break, if you're looking at broken clavicle, separation, I'd probably because separation, that'd be maybe the one I would choose because, you know, grade one, two is probably a 4 to 6 week, maybe 2 to 6 week, depending on how serious. Bounce back, that might have been what Eberle had. I don't know exactly. A grade three is a little bit different story because now it's a fully separated shoulder. But the dislocated, like I know a couple people are speaking, oh, he dislocated his shoulder. I'm like, well, that's the one because that can cause some long-term problems. A clavicle, as long as they manage it properly, heals up fine. 12 weeks, they might wait. You know, if he's like, oh, now it's 14 weeks, what's wrong? They're probably just being safe. I wouldn't. A bone is a bone. If something is wrong, there's something wrong with Connor's bone. But he's 18 years old. He's healthy. There's nothing wrong with him. So if there's a little bit more time, don't panic. It's just they're being precautionary and he's doing more bench press in the gym. You know what I mean? I'm joking, but
yeah. Well, he's not doing it yet, but probably very soon. Derek Lamshire from the base by RVH. You can give him a call 430-922-4.